This is the best show ever. I like this book because the first thing you see Batman do at the end is cry like a little girl. Even little rich white dudes in black pantyhose slap around. Can't wait for issue 2. Welcome to the Comic Amble, episode 6. We're all cut up for a change. All three of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So say hello to Dylan and Wesley.
Hello.
Yellow.
And we'll just get right to her here. And we're going to save the two big titles, I think, for later. Because Yasmin might show up. So I'm going to start with one that I thought was pretty damn cool. And it was the end of an era. Incredible Hulk's number 635. You guys read Hulk at all?
No.
I don't read it, sadly.
No.
I know. I lost track of it.
It's beautiful. Beautiful art. Beautiful story. Even Maya liked it, apparently. Yeah, this is the culmination of all of Greg Pak's entire run. And it's awesome. It's cool. It's fun. I'm not exactly sure where he leaves the Hulk at the end here. I'm still trying to figure that out, but
if you want to spoil it, I take note. If you want to spoil it, go for it.
Nothing really to spoil. I actually expected, because I'm aware of the new Hulk run by Jason Aaron and Mark Silvestri, and apparently they get separated again, and that's in here. Yeah, I mean, they don't. I mean, let me start that over. The new series, Banner and Hulk, are separated. That's what I meant to say. And I was looking for that at the end of this, but it didn't happen. So I think that's
going down. I guess they're saving it for the October launch then. I think they're just going to set it all up in October.
I think it's part of the Fear itself. Because now that Incredible Hulk is over, it's Hulk versus Dracula. And it's hammer welding Hulk. The World Breaker. New Breaker? What do they call him? I can't even remember now. Pretty excited for that. So yeah. Can't talk much about that because you guys didn't read it. But I did, and it was awesome. You guys are missing out.
I'm sorry. I'm a bad reader. I'm a bad reader.
You're horrible.
I'm horrible. I am the worst.
You got something offbeat you want to talk about, Wesley?
I've got this one. And this was one I was trying to figure out how to talk about it, because even I liked it, but it was kind of weird to try to figure out. It's called The Cell. And it's from Image. It just came out this week. This is a weird book to explain. I literally have to look at the synopsis to explain this to you because I can't even make sense out of my head. It's pretty much they use these sort of like D-trans to transfer another person's mind and spirit to another body. So if they're unhappy with their current body, they can just transfer their mind to another body that fits them better. So basically, your main character is Agent Mauricio, who is the top agent to help make sure these people get to their destination safe and make sure all these sort of situations sort themselves out. And he has this sort of fairy sidekick named Machi, who sort of like, as he uses his weapons, he goes into his weaponry and like, he goes, "Dang it, Machi, get into my freaking gun, I need to use it." "All right, so you're going to take me out to a movie later, right?" "Yes, Machi, get into my freaking gun." Like, okay.
Is this an Image comic?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's insane.
I thought of the Jennifer Lopez movie as soon as you said The Cell, though.
It's almost like you think that. I'm not kidding you. When I was reading this, it took me at least about two or three reads to kind of get a full idea of what was going on. I mean, it's a fascinating comic. The art style is by John Rock Upchurch. And it has a very... best way to describe it to you is a very, very European-esque style. Like something you would find out of say, like the Inkal or like more like the Meta Baron, sort of like that sort of like very kind of painted, sort of like very, very animated sort of style. It's pretty fascinating to watch, actually. It's kind of one of those books that you look at and you go, you'll say yourself and going, "Did I read that correctly? This is crazy." I mean, and the interesting part is it's actually a little bit extra size. because you actually have a lot of stuff going on. For $2.99, you get at least 30 plus pages of story, and you get a you pretty much get a almost like a nearly a full story right off the bat. And I mean, the probably the best $2.99 I spent all week, because it's just so absolutely fascinating is how much stuff they pile in there.
Cool, and, man. I would like to check that out, I think.
And also the writer on it is Arike Carrion, and definitely gives an interesting look to it. So, yeah, check it out. It's well worth it.
All right. Dylan?
I will go with a book from a company that I don't usually bring stuff up, IDW, and their Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles relaunch or reboot.
Really? And,
yeah, basically it's a reboot of the Turtles, again, I guess. That's kind of taking it back to the original idea that the people who created them had, where they're not all, you know, jokesters and whatnot, like the cartoons. And I love cartoons, but this was really... I hadn't been familiar with the original stuff, and this kind of just blew my mind, where it has all these characters you know by name, but a lot of them are a lot different than what I know from the cartoons and the movies. It's got some pretty cool art in it, and it sets up their new backstory, starts with it, and as a Turtles fan, I was really interested by it, and really happy to see something this good, and flipping through it here, I actually noticed there aren't any ads until the very back of the book, so you're paying $3.99, you're getting pretty much all story here.
All the ads are there for IDW books?
Yeah, there's like three pages of ads in the back, and that's it. And those are just for IDW books.
Cool. Anybody else read that?
Yep, I did. I liked it. I was pretty surprised by how much I liked it. I've been hit or miss on Falling Ninja Turtles for a while, and I was like, okay, I'll give this a shot. And I went, son of a gun, this is a pretty dang nice comic. I was pleasantly surprised, and I like how it's going. It's very much in now. I have read some of the originals, and it's very much in vein with the original style of Turtle comics than what has recently been come out. So that's a really refreshing surprise.
Very cool. My bad. I'm playing with the mute button. I wanted to read this because I know Kevin Eastman was writing or co-plotting
He did the co-plotting and the layouts for the
Nice. Art. Nice, man. Mm-hmm. I met him at the San Diego Comic Con. He draws fast. Real fast. Very cool. Nice guy, too. So, welcome back after our brief interlude. And everybody say hello to Yasmin.
Hi, Yasmin.
Hello.
Hi, sister. So we hear you've been busy lately.
Yes.
Big sigh. have you been able to read many comic books?
I just read Flashpoint 5 and Justice League number 1.
Okay.
And I just have another book to talk about, but that's basically what I'm be talking about today.
Okay, well, Right, Maya, thank you. Okay, we were going to save Justice League and Flashpoint for later, for when you showed up. So do you want to pick something else?
All right, I have another pick.
Okay. Because we're just doing one-offs to start, and then we'll edit them all together. So you go, sister.
Okay. So by Joshua Hale Fialkov and Roshan Ikido, from Top Cow we have Echoes. And Echoes is a spectacular read for anyone who's looking for a comic that's intense, creepy, and... more than a little disturbing. So I've only had the chance to read the first issue of the first, like, of the five-part miniseries, and I picked it out of curiosity, seeing that it takes place in Monroeville, Pennsylvania, and I know, and my curiosity was rewarded. So the story starts with Brian Cohen, and he's sitting by his elderly dad's hospital bed waiting for him to die, and he forgives him, though we don't know what for exactly, but it's kind of, you know, you kind of, it's, I don't know how to explain it, you see through the story, you know, that Brian's trying to get rid of any regrets before his father dies. And even his old man has a confession of his own to make, but he's too weak to start talking about it. So he just keeps repeating this address, like 1339 Haymaker, and he just says the dead girls, like so many dead girls, and that's where it starts. You know, it in addition to, and it gets really dark, and Brian's like, immediately he goes for this address, and he can't take his medication because he's quickly losing his mind with this mental illness he has. I think it's schizophrenia, but he works his way to the basement of the house, and the tension is like constantly rising with every step that he makes, and then he just finally shoves himself in this little cove and looks around for answers. And in addition, I think what he finds is, it's an interesting twist, and it leads up to like a really interesting kind of end, and it's really I'm sorry, I'm so off today. But anyways, in addition to the kind of grim plot, you have an equally grim artwork. The pictures are, you know, kind of shadowy, sketchy, like drawings with a little detail, and but it still shows the intense emotion. So I think this comic is a good solid read, and Echoes is credit to Top Cow's line of horror comics. And that being said, I've only read the first issue, and I'm really excited to see the next four. I'm not sure if they have it in the trade yet, but this is kind of old. I think it came out in December, but I haven't had a chance to read it until recently.
No, that's cool. That sounds kind of neat. I like creepy and disturbing.
I've been actually wanting to read this myself, and I do believe it actually just came out in hardcover recently. So,
hey, nice. I'll have to dig into that, eh? Welcome from Canada. So I guess we want to get to the meat and bones of this now, don't we? You guys want to talk about Flashpoint?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what'd you guys think? My cover was blue.
Yep, I got the nice like bluey purplish cover myself, so.
Yes. Ding. I like this book because the first thing you see Batman do at the end is cry like a little girl. But I had to point that out. Other than that, everything kind of clipped along really fast, I thought, because after issue 4, I'm like, how, what? And then boom.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody else catch that?
Yeah, I know what you mean there.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Okay.
Like, yeah. How are they going to wrap this up? And then, okay, well, that's how it ends.
Wrapped it up for a new beginning. And yep. I think they did pretty good. I don't know.
I enjoyed it.
I liked it, and I was actually moved by the various parts of it. While I think some of the big stuff, like the big battles in 4 especially, and the huge destruction on like a global scope, when things get that big, I think the story gets a little less personal, and people disconnect, since you're not really focusing on individuals and the personal stories anymore. And it's kind of this vague concept of the entire world being destroyed. And I thought the twist of how the alternate reality came into being and the resolution was unexpected and really interesting. And it was moving and very personal to Flash. And I enjoyed that because of all the, you know, really good storytelling techniques and stuff.
Okay. I don't know. It felt like magic.
It's not. That was the weird part about that. Is I really did not see that coming. When suddenly he's like, "Oh, that's what happened." Well, you. Okay. Wow.
Jeff had kind of said that before it even came out. Like, this is what would happen if Barry was going to tamper with time. Spoiler. My bad.
But, that's all good.
I guess it was kind of expected, but I was really expecting it to be Professor Zoom's fault. Is that what he's called?
Yeah, that's
something
that,
like that.
I don't even know
which. Well, he's just Zoom mostly for the most part, but it works.
Is. Is it? Wow, there's a couple of them, right? I don't know. I think the. I don't know, Wesley, you must have got excited when Grifter showed up.
I got a kick out of that, actually. Yeah. Considering that's one of the books that I'm at, that's the one of the books I'm actually looking forward to in the 52. That's actually one I got a kick out of.
Yeah.
So, and also, major accomplishment for this. Andy Kubert kept a schedule the entire Flash. No delays, no glitches, nothing. It all came out on time. So that's like the biggest accomplishment of this all is it came out on time.
Yeah. Dylan. You're just gonna nod and smile.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll bring up the Batman crying thing, I guess, since you mentioned it there. I was completely fine with that, actually. I know some people were like, "Oh, Batman's crying. That shouldn't happen."
Didn't bother me.
I loved it.
But yeah, I mean, even if, as a huge Batman fan, it's like I think the circumstances really warranted. And, you know, I was kind of sad by that point, but so I didn't really.
I could see how it'd be creepy and sad at the same time. I don't know. Yeah. I got to give kudos to this Batman's father in this timeline. He's an ass kicker.
Yeah,
his dad rules.
I like him.
I think it's my new favorite version of Thomas Wayne. So.
Yeah.
I want more.
Yeah, man. I don't know. He's not afraid to kill, and that's what I'm talking about. That's what Batman needs.
That was the bit of awesome. It's like Flash, like. As Zoom goes, you can't hurt me.
Oh, yeah.
Yay. Well, that solves that.
Yeah, that was excellent.
That was awesome.
So then people started talking about right away who this mystery hooded woman was.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, who the hell is that? Is that, I don't even know, man.
I've had at least two people like, is that Raven? And I'm going, no, it's not Raven. She's somewhere in the 52 anyway, but.
Raven.
And also, by the way, for the mystery hooded woman, there's one thing everyone's been hinting towards. It's the Stormwatch is coming out this week. Mm-hmm. They're saying keep an eye on that, because that might be a big reveal for a lot of mysteries. And that's sort of like been the hinting towards, like, what, between Twitter and just different news sites. So
yeah.
That's the book to keep an eye out for.
Because she keeps appearing in all the books or something, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Supposedly she's in the previews for, like, 8 of them already.
So three. Sorry?
Go ahead. She's confirmed in Hawk and Dove and Animal Man.
Interesting. I don't understand this. I see three timelines. Are we talking Wildstorm, DC, and what?
I think it's
Vertigo?
It's Wildstorm, DC, and Vertigo. Okay. And yeah. As that final scene was going, as everything was kind of going together, they. Decided that was how they were basically, like, whatever this sort of thing that happened, somehow as they were running along, it collided them, bam, all together, and sort of doing its own mini version of a crisis, and then just going, bam, and everything's now one gigantic merged universe, just gigantically rebooted.
But we still got the multiverse, from what I understand. So yeah. That's kind of cool. Yeah, I enjoyed the book, man. Like you said, got to give kudos to Kubert for keeping a schedule. I'm pretty stoked to see the way everything is going to go,
yep.
which would lead us to our next book, which I'm sure we've all read, Justice League number one.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure. And I enjoyed this book, too. I don't know why. I was a little confused at first the first time I read it, because as a guy who knows about the older stuff, how is this supposed to work? But I figured it out. This is what we got. All these new books are taking place at different times.
Yeah.
I mean, right at the beginning, it says 5 years ago, right? So, obviously, 5 years ago from Flash Boot yesterday? Huh? Anybody else catch that?
Yeah.
Am I just being too snarky?
No, it works.
Yeah. It works.
It works.
I didn't mind this take on Batman. I'm not too sure how he's done everything that he's done, plus what Grant has lined him up for.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that, Dylan? Maybe.
Well, it confuses me too, because it's 5 years. The current timeline would be 5 years since the Justice League is formed, but they're saying he's been operating. They haven't said how long, But he's been operating before all this, somehow under the radar, and he's had the Robins, some of the Robins at this point. Again, though, he'd need to be operating, like, they couldn't really crush his timeline down, because everyone ages in the Bat books a lot, so that's going to be something interesting to keep an eye out in his books, to see how the new timeline works out.
Yeah, that's where I say it's confusing. Like, I guess for a new reader, you wouldn't be concerned about that?
Yeah. So. It screws me up, because I actually had, like, a rigid timeline set up. Like, he'd been active, you know, 17 years or something pre-reboot, so right. Not sure how that's condensed. But.
Okay. And then, I don't know about this Green Lantern. Is this movie Green Lantern? I haven't seen movie Green Lantern yet.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yep, it is.
Okay. Yeah.
Which makes sense. I mean, he's pretty cocky and, what's the word? Brash.
Yeah.
What else do we get to see in here? We get introduced to Cyborg briefly, before he's even Cyborg.
Yep.
So I guess if you were a new reader, you'd be like, who's this guy? Why are we at a football game? Where did that come from?
No, I guess the thing is that my first impression was that this isn't a Justice League book, it's a Batman meets Green Lantern book. But, it's a Batman meets Green Lantern book. I mean, you have all of these superheroes out on the cover with, like, all in super poses, even though I think, like, Aquaman looks, like, a bit confused. But, I don't know. It's I'd expect, like, a double issue, you know, so that newer readers could have seen all of the members of Justice League at least show up instead of, you know, just not being there at all. You know, at least they'd show up a bit and you'd be able to kind of be like, oh, okay, this is interesting. But I was talking to some people and some of what they said rang true, that this is maybe the reason why they started with Batman and Green Lantern is because that they were expecting the Green Lantern movie to be such a, you know, big success. And, you know, everyone loves Batman, so... Okay, not... Right. Not Eric.
Everyone loves Batman.
Most people, like, if Batman's attached to the, like, to the book, they'd probably pick it up. And, I don't know, I liked it, and Jim Lee's art was, glorious to look at, and the Green Lantern's constructs were fun. It was very, you know, kinetic and action-packed, and Jeff Johns is really good at writing the very, you know, clever little quips and one-liners. There were a lot of fun moments where, like, super alien ring-powered Green Lantern, meaning guy in a suit, Batman, and then, you know, sizing each other up, and I enjoyed it as a comic book. I thought it was entertaining, but, you know, I didn't think it was a good kickoff for the, you know, new, like, DCNU.
I know what you're saying there, because somebody was saying before about how the last two tries at this has been like, here, slam, here's your first issue, here's your 12 members, go, action time. Whereas I think this is more like, kind of reminds me of the cartoon, the Justice League. The way it's setting it up, and I like it. I could get how you could be disappointed that it wasn't double sized because you want more, obviously. Yeah. So I guess that's the bait of comic books. So
you know, there's one fun fact about this that one of my favorite things I read about this is someone compared it to, like, kind of Ultimate Spider-Man esque, and how they're really trying to set it up piece by piece by piece over the six issues. And I gotta say this, because there's one fun fact I can't wait to see, is, can I spoil something of the issue, since whoever's listening, sorry, because I kind of want to get into this myself, but permission to spoil something hilarious?
You don't need my permission, dude.
Granted. I just wanted permission. When he said, when the reveal of Darkseid comes about with the alien, I went, oh, hell yes! So... Then I hadn't been reading a lot of reports on Fan Expo, and one of my friends told me, hey, Wes, hear about Darkseid, the first villain? And I went, dang it, I wish no one would have said something to me, because I had managed to miss that piece of news, and I would have loved to have been genuinely surprised by the Darkseid revelation of, like, because that's what I've heard he's supposed to be the first main villain, is Darkseid. And I went, okay, I can't wait to see the design for Darkseid by the end of this, because that sounds really cool to me.
I really enjoyed what Hal said afterwards. Like, you see the reveal, and he's like, Darkseid, what is that, a band?
A band?
Yeah. A heavy metal band, yeah!
And also, I was laughing endlessly at the you're not a guy in a bat suit, are you?
That was hilarious. He must be, I guess, it goes back to Batman's timeline. How long has he been operating in secret?
There's an interesting fact I read about that someone was asking about Damian. Like, how can Damian be born in this timeline? And they said, Batman was operating in secret for a long period of time before this, and pretty much and that's how they're kind of explaining off Damian is. I'm going, okay, we'll see how they explain this off, but right. So that's how they're kind of operating with the Damian aspect of this, and also I love that Darkseid gets revealed, and suddenly it's like, hey, what about that guy in Metropolis? I'm going,
yeah,
oh Lord, and you have to appreciate.
I love that last page. I was like, and you have to
appreciate Green Lantern going, oh no worries, I got this.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Like, okay, who can handle me now?
I mean, with a name like Superman, you better be able to do everything to everybody. Yeah. Even
it's Superman.
Even little rich white dudes in black pantyhose. Flap around. Can't wait for issue 2.
Yeah, issue 2 is going to be fun because it's going to be interesting to see. Yes, we've seen a Batman Green Lantern fight, but this could be an interesting twist on the normal Green Lantern Batman fight Batman Superman fight that we haven't seen before. So I'm genuinely curious to see how
he doesn't know nothing. He's got to lose.
Yeah.
He knows nothing about Superman. I'm sorry.
It's not like he had the kryptonite battle gloves yet.
That's right. He doesn't even know what kryptonite is. Or Krypton. Or does he? Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah. Suspense.
I hate you,
the
Batman.
Suspense is killing me.
Anyways. Good book. Everybody agrees it was reader-friendly for newbies?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can agree. I actually did something. I had my dad read the first issue because I decided, hey, Dad, take a look at this. So my dad was reading it, and he actually read it, and he seemed to be very genuinely curious. He went, so, that was pretty good. I was genuinely surprised by how much he got into it.
Cool.
So, and my dad's the last comic reader. He hasn't read a comic in a while, and he just went, and he's an old-school Superman fan, so
sure.
He genuinely got into it.
Cool, man.
So that's my new reader test is, hey, Dad, you want to check this out? Okay.
My wife wanted to read, when she started reading comics a couple months back, she's like, can I have some DC stuff? I said, no. I said, you wait for the new stuff, because I want to do the same kind of experiment. She hasn't read any of them yet, or these two issues in particular, obviously, because they're the only two that are out. But when she gets to it, I'm going to get her opinion, see what she thought. So, I guess that's all we have to say about the exciting, exciting times. Did anybody go to a midnight opening for this?
Nope.
No.
It's me? Oh. I drove 5 hours to the city to go.
I would have had to do that.
It was fun. I was tired. So was my kid. The news was there.
Of course, if I had done that, I would have been able to actually read mine day one. But
yeah. My comic guy's like, you have to come back tomorrow for your other books, though. I can't sell you the Marvel stuff till tomorrow. I was like, come on, dude, it is tomorrow.
I did have it again.
Whatever.
I heard the first printing and second printing sold out, and
I know that.
Yeah. I mean, that's good, but what's really interesting to see is what happens next month and the month after that. If there'd be, like, a very precipitous drop-off. I mean, of course, there'd be some drop-off because this is, because some of this is just collectors buying multiple copies of issue number one.
Obviously.
Yeah. And
it's a whole lot of that.
Some of this is just people just, like, who checked it out and are never going to buy another comic ever again. So, I mean, there is, of course, going to be some drop-off, but the question is how massive or, like, will it be just a slight change? And that's what I'm really interested in seeing next month.
Yeah, that reminds me. Somebody was comparing this to X-Men number one back in the
day.
Yeah.
How is that a comparison? They sold 200,000 copies of Flash Boot compared to the 2 million copies of X-Men number one, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong there? It was 2 million, right?
No. Yeah.
It was about 2 million. I mean, it's so funny. I even have, true story, I actually was in my basement the other day and I was going through stuff. I have two copies of X-Men number one, one copy of the normal version, and one copy of deluxe version. So that's how many freaking copies of that darn thing were around.
I bought six. I bought every cover separately, and then I bought one with a fold-out cover that had them all.
Yep, that's the one. Fold-out.
Yep.
I just have one of the regular.
Yeah. And I hope you only paid a quarter for it, dude.
Yeah, I don't know how I got it. I think it was my brother's.
Yeah, one of the 15 he owned.
Yeah,
savage with the multi covers, man. That's not a very fair, just I don't think a comparison.
Yeah, definitely.
The one thing you're going to see about is not going to be until about month six, in which we're really going to see just how much of an effect this relaunch has in sort of like the longer term of everything. Because by month six, we'll know if how much staying power this truly has.
True.
That's my opinion, anyway.
Well, I hope it works for them, because I like comic books.
Same here. Yep.
This is what the industry needs, is a kick in the junk.
I got into an interesting discussion. I've got into a couple interesting discussions in my store this past week, and one curious one was one guy who I was talking to, and he was all sort of depressed about the relaunch, going, so what's all in this? What's not in this? And we were talking about it, and it turned out the guy had dropped every single DC book from his file at the store, before he started talking to anybody. And I was going, "Oh Lord, have mercy!" So it's very much like, so for all the new people it's gaining, it's sort of like alienated other fans. So it's sort of like your DC's in the proverbial rock and a hard place at this point. So we'll see how this plays out. I want this to work. Please let this work.
It's make or break time. Yeah.
Make or break.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. I'm a Marvel cat, 100%. But I like some DC titles, too, and I would like to see this continue. I enjoy it, and I hope it does what we're all hoping it does. So now that we're done talking in circles, I'm done.
I think it's kind of depressing. People are forgetting that all the stories that they love and they've read over the years are still there. It's not like they're going to go up to their shelf, open one of their old DC books, and just find blank pages. Like,
ooh,
nothing is
that.
Gone. Seriously, I mean, the DC, to be honest, you know how they say, like, the DC universe has changed completely forever. To be honest, it's just, this is where everything changes and stays the same at the same time. You know, judging from Justice League number one, that's really how I feel. For all the effort DC has made and said, this is where everything changes and DC universe will never be the same again. Justice League number one felt, honestly, like a lot of, like, the same. It didn't feel that dramatically different to me. I mean, it's just trying to introduce comics to newer readers. They didn't really dramatically change anything at all. So,
what about Superman's trunks?
Yes, no underwear.
I missed the underwear.
He wears armor now. He has giant Kryptonian body armor now. That's his underwear now. It's giant Kryptonian body armor.
We lost Yasmin again. Okay, so let's switch it up a little bit, and jump over to the Marvel Universe, because I got something I would like to talk to Dylan about.
I know where this is going.
Wolverine number 14.
Yes.
Anybody?
Was a hell of a book.
I don't read Wolverine, man.
Oh, you're
sorry.
Missing out on a pretty good book, man. I was like, wow, this is amazingly good. I was shocked. Stunned.
Yeah.
You can spoil it for me if you want. I'm curious, actually, about this one. I've been hearing some good things.
Yeah. Well, there's apparently this coalition of people that have been plotting revenge against Wolverine for a very long time. Certain things like the lady who... Do you remember back when Millar was writing Wolverine for Enemy of the State? And the nurse was like, do you remember me? We dated, blah, blah, blah. And he stabbed her. She had a little son. And they kind of tell a little bit of his story. And it turns out that these people have kind of set Wolverine up on a wild goose chase. So when Wolverine cuts his way through everybody to get to these people who have been messing with him,
mm-hmm.
they're the people who sent him to hell. And it turns out that Daken gave them the plan, which I'm assuming is his oldest son.
I think so.
Because apparently it's not his only one. And that was the big kick in the pants when he finally gets to the bad guys. They'd all killed themselves. And then a recording kicks in, and they're like, yeah, too bad you're not going to have anybody to cut up for revenge because we're all dead. And I really hope you enjoyed killing the first wave of people that you killed when you were coming here, because they were all your children. And Wolverine was like, what?
Dude,
I know. I was like, what the
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like, dropped the book and went, holy shit, when I read that.
I was like, awesome. Awesome sauce.
Wow.
It makes sense. I mean,
well done, gets Dick around. Aaron.
He's been around the world a few times.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
This issue makes me really want to see him, like, cut off Daken's head or something.
Like, what's that? Geez. Say that again, sorry?
This issue, like, I don't hate Daken as a character, but, like, he's an evil asshole.
Oh, yeah.
So, like,
oh, yeah.
This one makes me really want to see Wolverine just cut his damn head off.
He'll never do it.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Which is sad. Well, maybe he will now. I mean, he kind of set him up to... but does he know? Like, I mean, they kind of do a flashback where they show Daken giving them the plans and stuff, but do they ever tell him in the video? Do I have to reread this book again?
I will look quickly. I don't think they do, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, just kind of sideways. So I don't know, if he never finds out, then la-dee-da, right?
I'm sure Daken will boast about it next time he sees him.
I don't know, I've been reading his series, and it's not that good anymore, I don't think. I don't know. This obviously, this arc is still not over. 14 issues.
Man. Holy crap. That sounds pretty...
Yeah.
That sounds pretty awesome, I'm not going to lie.
Well, he's going back to Canada. That's what it says, next issue. Ooh. Yeah, I think this really messed with the man.
Yeah.
My buddy, Jimmy.
While we're on Wolverine, mm-hmm. did you see that teaser about Brian Wood doing some Wolverine project?
Yes!
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
It was at, I think it was Fan Expo, they just had a teaser where it's just the three claw marks, and then it had Brian Wood 2012. So I'm wondering if he's taking over the Wolverine book, or if he's doing his own thing. Because they haven't really elaborated on it too much.
Interesting. I don't want Jason Aaron going away, but apparently he's taking Hulk and X-Men and crazy times.
Well, one way or another.
Seems like they're steering through either giving Brian Wood his own series with Wolverine, or they're just going to probably have him take over Wolverine next year. But sounds pretty awesome getting Brian Wood back at Marvel. That's pretty slick, in my opinion.
Brian Wood, is that the DMZ guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
DMZ,
yeah.
Northlanders, Channel Zero.
Right. I've heard of all of his books, but I've never read any of them.
Same here.
So that should be interesting, I guess. Mad Love for Wolverine. Everybody read it, even though I spoiled it. Don't laugh at me, child. Okay, so anybody else got another pick?
Dylan, before I say this, I'm not sure if you're going to pick it yourself, but the Secret Avengers, Summer 16.
That was my next pick, you bastard.
Well, I figured we'd all read it.
Quit stealing our picks, man.
I don't mean to. I kind of figured I'd bring it up because I figured most of us had read it, so I figured. So I figured if someone was going to discuss it, we all would end up discussing it. So I figured it's a safe bet. But there's a funny thing about Secret Avengers number 16 for me is the fact that
Flashpoint and Justice League, like me.
Like the secret city took place. The secret city was underneath Cincinnati, and I live not too far from there.
Oh, nice.
And I was kind of disappointed that there was a giant secret city underneath like Cincinnati that had a time travel, and that disappoints me. I would have loved to have been able to visit the secret city with time travel. That would have been pretty awesome.
I really really like this book. I don't know why. The art.
The art was awesome.
Ooh, that was loud. Yasmin's back. Yes. And her speakers are really loud.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Is some?
You're good.
Okay.
We're talking about Secret Avengers now, 16.
Yes.
Yes, did you?
Finally, I don't know if people realized it, but I guess other comics came out this Wednesday besides the Justice League number one. Yeah. As hard as it is to believe.
I love Secret Avengers. That was like, I honestly, that book was awesome. I mean, between, like I said, the art was amazing, and the story was just one of those, only Warren Ellis could sort of make this sort of story work of, so, there's a secret city underneath Cincinnati that's using Von Doom particles from the old time machine he created back in the day. I went, oh, that is too cool.
I went, all hail Doom.
All hail Doom.
Love that guy.
Hail Ellis.
I think the only thing I could have done without for this issue was the cover by John Cassidy, because I can't stand his Beast. I can't stand it. It drives me up.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
Like, it looks like he's cover. Like, I just pooped and I'm running from it.
There's an alternate I found online that sounds 10 times that looked 10 times better. That was like Captain America, Beast, and Black Widow on the Atomic Cadillac being hit by a wave of bullets by McKelvey, and I went, "Oh my God, why wasn't that the main cover? That would have been so much cooler." But then it's like, "Oh, yeah, that cover. Yeah, that's great. Yay!"
You're not Jewish. Stop yelling, dreidel. Sorry, we lost Yasmin again.
Poor Yasmin.
Yeah, good book, man. I just noticed on the big A here, it says, "Run the mission, don't get seen, save the world." Is that a new creative for the book? Because I like it.
Well, you know that what they're doing for the six issues is every single issue Ellis is doing is a done in one issue.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So every single issue is beginning, middle, end, all in one. I went, that is so cool. And I think that's a very clever idea because, honestly, poor Secret Avengers has had a situation of kind of been, okay, here's Brubaker's run, here's Spencer being stuck in fear itself, and then this time Ellis just goes, okay, I get six done in one stories. Perfect. That's just perfect.
I also enjoyed the double spread page of Moon Knight taking off into the city.
Oh, that was a thing of beauty.
Yeah. This thing better not have stopped recording again. Sorry, guys. Okay, we're still good.
I gotta read this.
Yeah, Dylan, it's a done in one. It's awesome, dude. You'll like it. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, the cityscape shot is awesome. I don't know if it's the colors or the lines or what. It's just a cityscape shot, and it's amazing. Do you agree, Wesley?
I agree. I was drooling over this entire scene. I mean, every single bit of this book, from the character personalities to everything, was just so spot on. And I love Moon Knight and Beast. They were hilarious.
Yeah, I agreed.
You're a borderline psychotic. This is why we did not give you the fancy gun.
Yeah. Okay. Well, she's in the car. She's on the road. That a girl. Yeah. So what else have we got to talk about? Me and Wesley liked Secret Avengers. I slept with mine last night.
I think I got something we can both talk about.
Awesome.
Hook us up, Dylan.
Alright, so the Ultimate relaunch has started as of a couple weeks ago. I don't think I've mentioned the Ultimates. I don't think we've done a podcast since then. So we've got the Ultimates.
All right.
By Jonathan Hickman and Asad Ribic. And then we've got Ultimate Hawkeye, again by Jonathan Hickman, and this time with art is Rafael Sandoval. I hope I'm saying that right.
You got it.
So basically, these two are kind of cool in themselves, I thought anyways, because they're... Hawkeye, there's a point in Ultimates where you can tell where Hawkeye takes place, where the Ultimates is pretty cool, because it's... A lot of it's just Nick Fury kind of being in S.H.I.E.L.D. command.
I felt they were both the same book, but Hawkeye read better.
Yeah.
No?
No, I can see that, yeah. They did touch on a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of weird. But I dug the approach Hickman's taking, you know, trying to make it more... not necessarily realistic, but different. You know, it's much more of a S.H.I.E.L.D. book, kind of.
Yeah.
It's got some good art on both. It's different artists, but I think they look relatively similar to the point where it's not like everyone looks completely different, so I like that. And,
yeah, I had no qualms with the books. I enjoyed them both.
If the rest of the... If the other two books in the relaunch are like this, then I'll be pretty happy with the Ultimate Comics.
Yeah. You getting the X-Men, too?
Yep, getting all four.
So what, X-Men and Spider-Man are what we're waiting for next?
Yep. Okay. I think Spider-Man is the 14th and X-Men's the 21st or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Cool, I'm stoked for that.
Well. I'm kind of refraining from commentary I didn't read Hawkeye, but I read Ultimates, and I'm kind of refraining from commentary because I get a feeling I will start an online lynch mob on me.
Come on, brother, you didn't like it. Why didn't you like it? Tell us why you didn't like it. Come on, come on.
Okay, you want to know?
I want to know.
Okay.
We want to know.
Sorry.
All right, I'll tell you. Okay, this is why I didn't like it. One, and yes, I've been kept relatively up to date with the Ultimates, like, universe and what they've been trying to do with it. So, it's an odd book for me because it feels like all the storylines that are hitting, it feels like, okay, you get a little bit of storyline with this person, boom. You get another storyline with this person, boom. You get another storyline with this person, boom. But then by the end of it, I didn't care. I just did not care about anything that was going on in this book.
So it didn't
grab you. It looked pretty. It looked nice. Mm-hmm. But it just didn't appeal to me. It did not click with me in the fact that everything that went together, I just went, I don't care. When at the end of the book, Nick Fury says, I don't know, I actually end up finding myself saying, I don't care. I mean,
nice. I guess that's kind of the difference between me and you, man, is you can figure it out in that one issue whether you're going to stay or remain. Whereas me, I'm like, I got to finish the first storyline.
Well, and also think of it as I also have the relaunch coming up mixed in with everything. So I'm a little bit more like
leaning towards saving some money.
Correct.
Yeah,
and
I hear you.
So, but it looked nice, but I just kind of went, yeah, this is not going to work for me. So, we'll kind of see what happens. I mean, who knows? Maybe when the first hardcover comes out, I'll probably get another shot. But for right now, I'll have to say, we'll lean towards nay for my opinion at this point.
Okay, well, that's fair. I have no problems with that. Dylan, you going to start a lynch mob now?
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
So you're all right. Lynch mob Wesley. You see, yay! There's enough and everybody's like, huh?
Yeah, at least they read it first.
Yeah, there you go. Yes.
The one thing people know, there's one thing I've always liked to tell people is, every time I have an opinion on something, I always end up, I read it first before I end up judging, because it's one of those things about, like a lot of people online nowadays that go, well, I hate it. Well, why do you hate it? Because I hate it. Have you read it? No. I hate it. Well, that's stupid.
That's right.
Read it first, get dimwit.
Yeah, true.
Yep.
I can't knock that either. Unless it's written by Judd Winnick A. Dillon. I had to throw that
to up. Be fair, I have given him a shot twice, and both times I've been disappointed. So.
Right. And the third time you give him a shot, I'll be right in the bum.
Are you going to be Catwoman? Because that would be an interesting experience.
You going to blog about that? What? Just kidding.
I might try it just to see, you know, if I can write an angry review for the site.
It's easy, man. I did one for Bye Bye Birdie in college. It was easy. I hated that show. I didn't want to be there.
I'll give you, honestly, one thing about Judd Winnick's Catwoman book, he makes it downright easy to rip into it from the start because of his interviews for it. So, what your Catwoman is going to, he says, it's going to be sexy. He says sexy about 10 times the entire interview. I'm going, okay, it's going to be sexy.
Okay.
Anything more than just sexy.
He has a quote in the DC, the 52 preview book or whatever, where he's just like, it's going to be sexy and mysterious. I'm just like, damn it, man.
Sounds like a certain vampire series that's out there right now.
Oh, God, help us.
Oh, boy. I hope it's a big hit. I think all the girls will like it.
Yeah, that. I mean, if anything, that could actually. There's some of these books that could be oddball breakout hits out of Catwoman could become one of those books that for some odd reason becomes popular because the artist they have on it has a really amazing art style in Julian March,
yes.
And he's just a beautiful art style. So that could really work to its advantage. I mean, I'm giving it a flip through before I judge it personally, but Winnick's not helping that book's general profile at this point.
Yeah.
Okay, that was our Judd Winnick rant. Dylan's got a thing for him, I know that.
Yeah.
He's hit or miss for me. I enjoyed his Superman Shazam First Thunder miniseries a lot. Like, I really liked it. I was impressed.
Man, the art in that was beautiful.
And then I read, what was it? What else did you write? That was just a bomb. I can't remember. I tuned it out.
No. To be fair, I've only read his Batman, which is not well-liked at all, I don't think.
See, whereas I don't have that problem.
I like his Exiles. That's probably been my favorite thing he's ever written.
That's another good one. I enjoyed that, too.
Exiles was awesome. I reread some of the early issues of that, like, 6 times over. That's how much I liked his Exiles.
Yes, very much so. I always like raiding the back issue bins for Exiles, because I wasn't really on the series as it was coming out. Not too smart like that sometimes. What else have we got? I enjoyed the crap out of Spider Island.
Yes, Spider Island was awesome. They did a real...
Yeah.
Part 2. Every time I talk to Dan Slott on Twitter, I say stuff stupid and backwards. Like, when I was talking about the Jackal, I called him Warren Miles, and it's Miles Warren. Right? Like, I was just like, why did I just do that?
Warren Miles. I like the name.
Whatever. I was just excited because of all the clone stuff that kind of... I just know it's coming, man. I mean, the Jackal. It's the Jackal. What can I say?
There's a new room. There's a thing everyone keeps saying. It's like, I'm not sure if you... I know a few people mentioned it. It's like, okay, come on. Anybody predict Ben Reilly returning by the end of Spider Island? Because that seems to be the new sort of oddball prediction online that Ben Reilly's back by the end of Spider Island. And if honestly that happened, it wouldn't shock me. Because if they decided to bring him back, I'd go, nope, wouldn't shock me at this point.
I don't think that it will be necessarily Ben Reilly, but I think somebody will take on the Scarlet Spider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because somebody, and I'm thinking somebody close to him, one of the girls probably, is going to keep their power when this is all over. I don't know. That's my theory.
It would crack me up if it was Carly. Then that would enrage the fans that much further if Carly kept her powers, and then we would have Carly fan rage part 9999.
I'd be part of that, sadly.
Hi, Maya. Did you like Spider-Man? Did you like Spider Island? Yeah? Yeah? Are you going to be mad if MJ gets to keep her powers and she becomes Scarlet Spider like your daddy? Yeah? Hulk break, she says. I love my kid. Awesome.
Please keep that in the show. That would be awesome.
Whatever. Spider Island was fun. And I know Anthony would be upset if we didn't bring it up, because I know he's enjoying it a lot.
Yep.
Deadly Hands of Kung Fu Rock.
Yes.
That was awesome.
The other one I wanted to talk about, I checked that out, and it was good. Very good. I like Shang-Chi. you just read it? You didn't read that, did you, Dylan? Hi,
Daddy. No. Never mind. I should have, but I didn't. Maybe I'll get it on Comixology.
That's what I did, man. I downloaded it.
It's good.
Yeah, it was good.
It was really good. Sebastian Fiammara has an impressive art style for this, and it definitely has an intensity to it that just blows your mind. It's so well done.
Okay.
I'll definitely have to give that a look.
I would say bring something else up, but I think I need to wrap this up because the child is a freak and not sleeping. anybody else got anything else they want to talk about, or shall we put a bow tie on?
I could pick one more, I guess. I'll just say two quick things. Punisher number 2, I liked. It got me hooked on the series now.
Word up. Agreed.
Doing with Frank. And the second would be Batman Gates of Gotham number 5.
Boo.
Wrapped up the story. Scott Snyder and Kyle Higgins know what they're doing, so the reboot should be good. And it kind of introduced a new cool villain, so that was a good wrap-up to the miniseries there. I hope they do another.
All right. Cool. And as always, Wesley, you got anything else? No?
I got nothing else. Good. I mean, we pretty much cover... I mean, between the team of us is pretty much covering pretty much either having, like, 5 people... Because most of us have read a lot of the books this week.
Yeah.
That's what kind of worked out. So we could have some fun little group discussions.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking. Like, we're starting to all kind of be reading the same books at the same time, so eventually we can just jump from show to show. Maybe. We got to have those one-offs. I mean, how are we going to learn anything? I mean, I keep learning stuff listening to the show. Wesley, thank you for a couple things.
No problem.
I checked out The Infinite, and I kind of laughed that I enjoyed it. It pissed me off that I liked it. I was like, wow. Damn.
I was the same way. You know my reaction. I was just shocked that I liked it as much as I did.
He drew the feet. That blew my mind. You're welcome.
No, he drew the feet.
No.
He drew ankles. He drew feet.
Right. Okay, so here we go. I guess we'll wrap it up. As always, you can find us at the Comic Anvil on Twitter, on Facebook, and now on iTunes. Actually, apparently always on iTunes, but we didn't know.
Yeah.
Because we're not paying attention. The host is a drunk. Did I ever tell you guys that? That guy, he's a lush. Anyways, for Wesley, Dylan, myself, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 Hey.